Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to Grammy-nominated singer and songwriter Angie Stone. I caught up with the R&B diva to chat about her latest TV and film projects and much more. Dr. Iyanla Van Zandt was in town this week promoting her new book, Get Over It, and her new promotional tour. She also opens up about her popular own series, Iyanla Fix My Life, and more. And closing out today's show is singer and actor Keith Robinson. He stopped by the Upfront Studios to chat about starring on Bounce TV's Saints and Sinners and his new music. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for men and women to portray members of a studio audience for the new own series, Love Is. The show is set in the 90s, and the actors must be 18 years or older. This must be your first time working on the show. If you fit the description, please send your legal name, phone number, sizes, and a recent photo to loveis@centralcasting.com with audience 9 in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, watch the exciting new trailer for Miramax and Roadside Attractions' new documentary, Whitney. It arrives in theaters on July 6th. Whitney is an intimate, unflinching portrait of Whitney Houston and her family that probes beyond familiar tabloid headlines and sheds new light on the spellbinding trajectory of her life. Using never-before-seen archival footage, exclusive demo recordings, rare performances, audio archives, and original interviews with the people who knew her best. And finally, Season 2 of Dear White People is available now for your viewing pleasure on Netflix, the satirical series based on the acclaimed 2014 film by the same name, continues to follow a group of Winchester University students of color as they navigate a diverse landscape of social injustice, cultural bias, political correctness, and activism in the millennial age. Check out the exciting trailer at WCLK.com. That's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news. I'm Reva Blue.
I'm Sabrine Jolly with today's WCLK Jazz Calendar. Tonight, Brian Culbertson, Norman Brown, Najee, and Josh Vietti will present an evening of smooth jazz at the Wolf Creek Amphitheater on Saturday, May 5th. Also on tonight, jazz vocalist and actress Chandra Corelli is paying tribute to the great Phyllis Hyman at St. James Live on Saturday, May 5th. Avery Sunshine, Layla Hathaway, Robert Glasper, and more are performing at the 2018 St. Lucia Jazz Festival, May 6th through the 13th. Julie Dexter and Kebby Williams play a jazz and blues Mother's Day brunch at the City Winery on Sunday, May 13th, with Deb Moore hosting. And drummer Shay Marshall performs at Friday Jazz at the High Museum on May 18th and is hosted by Jamal Ahmed. That's today's jazz calendar. For these and more live jazz performances, log on to WCLK.com and check out the events calendar. I'm Sabrine Jolly.
Hey, y'all, what's going on? It's your boy Devon Franklin, author of the new book, The Hollywood Commandments, and you're listening to Upfront with your boy Ray Cornelius. Stay right here.
Boy, you forgot when you were down, who was around.
That was classic music from R&B diva Angie Stone performing I Wish I Didn't Miss You. The Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter was one of many Atlanta celebrities who appeared at last week's Black Experience and Expo, and Upfront was there to chat with her about appearing as Rowena, the housekeeper on Bounce TV's Saints and Sinners. Check out our brief conversation.
Well, my character, she is the woman who knows it all. And of course, you've probably seen some of the great stuff. The surprise that might not be a big surprise after all. It's going to be a super surprise. But I'm having a ball doing it. Clifton Powell is excellent to work with. Everybody on the show is great. And they're telling me I'm doing a good job. So
Now, I hear that you're going to be doing some more theatrical projects and film projects. So can you tell us a little bit about that, too?
Well, there's a pilot that I'm shooting called Brooks Brothers in L.A., and there's a Netflix series that I'm shooting where I play the mother to a very prominent doctor. So we're working on that now.
Let's talk a little bit about black music. Since June is Black Music Month, you were actually able to be a part of the first female rap group ever. So what was going through your minds when you guys were putting this group together? Talk about the origins of the group.
Well, at 17 years old, everything that a 17-year-old thinks about is what was going through my mind. It was, we're going on tour, we're going to have fun, we're going to have money, we're going to be able to buy what we want, and we're idiots because we don't know nothing. We don't want to listen to anybody, but at the end of the day, we're having a blast. So after touring the world and learning this business, it was a life lesson that I can honestly say, being a black woman in this industry who has learned by trial and error, I am seasoned and I get it now. So I've had a wonderful time. And, you know, it's like such is life. You will learn along the way.
Now, what is one of the biggest lessons that you learned that has kind of kept you, because you've been doing this for a very long time, but what is the one thing that kind of keeps you going?
The one thing that keeps me going is change. We can never stay the same. We've got to always elevate, operate in a space that we have to do better than we did before. So that's what keeps me going.
Now, what is one of the songs that you just love to perform? There are so many that you have in your repertoire, but what is the one song that you just love to get on stage and perform?
I think I love to do Pissed Off. That's my favorite.
Biopics are very popular now. Is there anyone out there whose story you'd love to bring to the big screen if you could?
Mine. I think that right now they're pursuing me because I'm probably the one artist that has walked through genres of hip-hop, neo-soul, R&B, and so on and so on. And now my children are being developed, and they got hip-hop in their blood. They got R&B in their blood. So it's just showing that you pass the torch. It's very interesting.
Thank you so much.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the Wolf Creek Amphitheater, presenting an evening of smooth jazz on Saturday, May the 5th, with performances by Brian Culbertson, Norman Brown, Najee, and Josh Vietti. The evening will be hosted by MC Lightfoot. Food, drinks, and coolers are welcomed. Ticket information is available at all Ticketmaster outlets or the Wolf Creek box office at 1-800-653-8000.
You tell me that you love me, yeah, yeah. And people, I'm sure you really do. You say you love me more and more each day. And that's when my sensitivity gets in.
Hey y'all, this is Logan Browning from Netflix's Dear White People, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Spiritual leader, life coach, and self-help guru, Dr. Iyanla VanZant, is currently on a U.S. tour promoting her new book, Get Over It, Thought Therapy for Healing the Hard Stuff. The tour is being billed as an up-close and in-person experience between Dr. VanZant and her adoring fans and includes some spiritual principles along with a dose of love, humor, and her signature straight talk that audiences have grown to appreciate on her award-winning series, Iyanla Fix My Life. I got a chance to chat with her before the show, where she talked about helping people get to the next phase of their lives and much more. All right, well, good morning and welcome back to Upfront. Dr. VanZant, how are you?
I'm blessed, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Want to first of all say congratulations on the release of your new book, Get Over It, Thought Therapy for Healing and Hard Stuff. But before we get into that, I got to mention to you this, this past season of Iyanla Fix My Life, when I tell you, I have been glued to my sofa every Saturday evening. I'm rushing trying to get home to make sure that I can catch those episodes. And I have to say, and I don't know if you've received this type of compliments for the last, was the show before last, the Hazel E episode, but I felt like that was probably your most definitive episode of the entire series.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that because I really feel like that's where we are as a culture, that there are so many people who are achieving fame or notoriety and have no idea about the foundation or the people that have come before them. And I think that there's something missing there. And I don't know quite what we can do, but I felt like when you were teaching her and showing her the women that had come before her, there's so many. I work with a lot of other millennials, and there's this disconnect. So if you can talk about a little bit about that episode and what was that really like working with her?
Well, first of all, Hazel is a lovely, lovely young woman. And as you say, I think just got thrust into the public world and the public view, and created a character, if you will, because Hazel E is a character. The woman I was working with was Erica. And she didn't have a real solid foundation about what it means to be in the public, what you're doing in the public, some basic things, you know, no clear vision for herself and her work in the world. No clear intention for herself and her work in the world, because the society encourages us to seek fame and fortune without a real clear destination or definition. Mm-hmm. So working with her was, I don't want to say challenging, because she wasn't challenging. It was challenging to kind of counteract what the world is promoting, you know?
Right.
Make a hit record, get on the TV show, get your name out there, get your face up by any means necessary. And that statement, by any means necessary, you know, was given to us by the late
Malcolm X.
Wonderful,
yeah.
El-Haj Malik Shabazz on Malcolm X. And he was talking about freedom and equality and justice in the world. But nowadays, by any means necessary means the lowest common denominator.
Mm.
The beauty of the show for me was to be able to demonstrate to young people and people all over, you know, who watched the show, the cautionary tale of seeking fame and fortune without a clear vision and intention.
Yeah.
And also to make the point of the importance of us honoring those upon whom we stand. How can you call yourself an entertainer and not know who Pearl Bailey is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not know who Dorothy Dandridge is. How can you represent yourself as a black woman in the world and not really have an understanding of the message and the lesson and the value of Sojourner Truth, of Harriet Tubman, of Ida B. Wells, of Septima Clark? As black women, we have to know that every time we step out, we're honoring our foremothers. So that, to me, was the beauty of that show, to be able to pull all of that together, because that's part of how we're going to fix ourselves, to look at what has been done and do it better.
Yeah. I want to get into your book, Get Over It, Thought Therapy for Healing and the Heart Stuff. What was the inspiration behind this? Because it's been a while since you've put something out there, but what was the inspiration behind this new project?
To give people a process that they can use, to provide people with an understanding of the latent and magnificent power of their mind, and to support people in developing a better relationship with their own mind and their own power. Those are the primary things. You know, we are not mindful of how we think. We're not mindful of the power of our thoughts. And what I've learned through years and years, 35 years of study, is that everything that comes into our life is there by energetic invitation to teach us and to help us grow.
Mm. Now, this book is actually part of a tour that you're doing. I know Atlanta is the kickoff, and you're also hitting up D.C. as well as Harlem. I believe you're going to be in Harlem. And it's also very interactive.
No, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn,
no,
okay.
No, not
okay.
Harlem.
Not Harlem, Brooklyn.
I'm from Brooklyn.
Okay. But this is sort of an interactive evening with you. You just don't want people just to sit there and watch you talk, but you're actually inviting the audience to be a part of this. So how did that come into play for this tour?
I wanted people to have an experience of the Get Over process, because it's a six-step process that I put in the book. And I didn't want people to have to try to figure that out. Mm. I wanted people to actually experience it. I also wanted to kind of bridge the gap between people watching me on the screen and people experiencing, and we have, you know, people experiencing me personally. So that was the motivation for the tour, and that's what I'm offering people, the process of Get Over It. Because I've written 18 books, and people are still in the same place.
Yeah.
So I got to say, okay, I got to do something different.
Yeah. And what's been the response so far? What have people been saying to you about the book?
We've had a wonderful time. You know, people have been coming out. I don't know what they think they're getting or what they expect. But people have walked away saying it was just what I needed. You answered questions for me. You know, thank you for coming out. It's one thing to see a person on television. It's another thing to be able to see them live and hear them live. So the response has been wonderful, and I've had a really great time.
Yeah. So I got to ask you this, because when I'm watching those episodes and I'm looking at how, and I had a conversation with Christal Wilson, and she talked about her experience with you, and she was like, this is not, you know, for play. This is what she really does, and she was referring to you, and she was like, she's serious about this. And I look at how you really pour into these individuals. You're there, you're hugging. Who is there for you when those cameras have stopped rolling and you're, you know, dealing with, you know, yourself? Who is really there for you? Because I think about that, and I get a little sad, because I'm like, gosh, she's giving so much of herself. But who is there for you?
Well, my first and most valuable team player is God.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm not in this by myself.
Right.
And then I have a wonderful human team around me. I have elders that I go to for guidance and counsel. I have prayer partners that pray with me and for me all the time. I have a staff of incredible people who always backing me up, holding me up, pulling me up. And I do my work. I'm always studying. I'm always researching. I'm always doing something to take my work to the next level, because you can't give what you don't have.
Right.
So every time I deal with a challenge or issue with someone, I want to know as much as possible about how it came to be, why it came to be, and how you move through it. So I don't do this by myself. I'm just a channel to do it for my creator.
Yeah. And what, last question, what do you want the audiences to walk away with, or anyone that picks up your book, what do you want the reader to walk away with from Get Over It?
Faith in themselves. The understanding of who they are and the power of their mind.
All right.
That's what I want. That's what I would want for anybody.
Well, Dr. Van Zandt, thank you so very much for taking time out of your busy schedule. So looking forward to seeing you and checking out the book and just enjoying the show. I'm glued to my sofa every Saturday. My friends try to pull me away. But,
That's so good. And, you know, I'm really glad that men get it, because for so long people thought, oh, she's just for women.
No.
You know? And I have more and more and more men thanking me and watching the show. So I'm really grateful for that.
No problem. Thank you. Have a good one.
All righty.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Live Nation, presenting Buddy Guy and Mavis Staples on Friday, May 11th at 8 p.m. at Wolf Creek Amphitheater. Buddy Guy and Mavis Staples will perform an evening of blues, soul, jazz, and folk music. Ticket information is available at Ticketmaster.com.
I'm Niecy Nash.
I'm Karrueche Tran.
And you are listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
I'm a sucker for love, I'm a sucker. Maybe I ain't just a fool for trying to love you. Maybe I am the one I need to blame. Maybe I'm just a glutton for the pain.
She will never be you.
She'll never be.
Never be you.
No, I realize.
That was music from singer Keith Robinson. The star of Bounce TV's Saints and Sinners stopped by to chat about his character on the popular series, as well as music from his latest project, Love Episodic. We also talk about him stepping behind the camera and the one music icon he'd love to portray on the big screen.
Well, welcome to Upfront, Mr. Keith Robinson. How are you today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. It's so awesome. Good to have you here in the studio.
Yeah, good to be here, man.
Yeah, I've been loving the show. We're talking about Saints and Sinners, which is actually in its second season, third season?
This is the third season.
Yeah. Wow. Time is going by so fast.
Yeah, man. It's moving.
Let's talk about your character, Mr. Miles, because he's got a lot going on this show.
Yeah, Miles is a conflicted guy. He's a musician. We meet him kind of coming off of the R&B charts and trying to find his way back into the R&B world. But he's right, as of now, he's helping out in the church with the music ministry there. And he's torn between a wife and his side chick thing, fling. He's in love with both, if that makes sense. And they're both pregnant, and they both have allegedly, something has mysteriously happened to their baby. So he's having his cake and eating it too. He's choking on it.
Yeah. Now you get to work with two amazing actresses who, it's funny, all of you guys are actors, but you also sing.
A lot of us do.
Demetria, Jasmine Burke, you know. So what is it like working with those ladies?
That's great. Two great actresses. They're really good. I mean, Demetria's one of the best actors I've ever worked with. She has a lot of tools. Jasmine is great too, great instincts. I mean, I think the future is very bright for both of those young ladies. So it's good that I'm kind of able to be around to see Jasmine, our first project, and I look forward to seeing where both of those ladies head. Sky's the limit, you know?
Yeah. Now, what do you enjoy most about playing Miles? Because I remember in first season, mm-hmm. we got to really see your music skills.
Yeah.
Because you're also the choir director at the church.
Exactly. So. I think the music element is really cool. I think that's what I enjoy the most, because I'm able to marry both to that music and the acting, which is what I love. But I also love, you know, anytime you get to play a conflicted character, it makes it very interesting to kind of peel back the layers and, you know, kind of show a guy who was kind of, like I say, his own worst enemy, where he makes these messes and he is very contrite and sorry for doing it, and then he goes and does it again. So it's kind of, there's a lot of people, I think, that can identify with that, so... It seems to be resonating with the people really well.
Yeah. Now, I've been asking this question a lot, and I'll ask you as well. What is it like being on television in a series during this time where there's so many African-American programs on television now? We have such a variety.
Yeah.
It's really a good time, a lot of people say, to be an actor, especially to be an African-American actor. So what has that been like?
I think it's great. I mean, I think it's about time. I think there's a lot of stories that we can tell, that we have yet to tell. And I'm just glad to be in the number, to be in the mix. I would feel left out if I wasn't in the mix. So I'm glad to be here, and I hope it continues. I think with cable and technology and all the new platforms that are developing, it kind of extends the stage for more of us to get opportunities. So I'm proud to be a part of this kind of renaissance of sorts. So yeah. It's a great thing, man.
Now, will you be getting behind the camera? Because I know Vanessa Bell Calloway got a chance to direct.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. She's great. Well, I actually just made my directorial debut. I've co-directed this mini movie that I did for my new single, Never Be You, which is like a small short, which will be coming out in a couple weeks, May the 11th, which I'm very excited about. So I definitely want to delve into directing and producing. I mean, I think once you in front of the camera, as long as I have, you kind of get a knack for it, and kind of, you know, you kind of instinctively pick up little things, little tidbits there. So I definitely want to man the ship very soon.
Yeah. Now let's talk about that single, because you dropped that in 2017.
What
was the inspiration behind the song?
Well, Love Episodic, the album, was kind of inspired, but kind of a play on the TV and film thing, because I kind of approached the music as if I were watching TV and wanted to see an episode of Love, like from the beginning, from the boy meets girl, and the first attraction, the ups and downs of a relationship. I call it the anatomy of a relationship. I kind of wanted this to be, what if I was making a soundtrack to it? And this is what this album is. So it's been received really well. People have really been digging it. And a lot of people are unaware that I really sing. So it's kind of been fun kind of making them aware. They're kind of shocked always by it, because that's really where it starts and ends with me. And Never Be You is the third or fourth single off the album that I've released. And with a visual and so forth. And it's basically just about, I call it the greener grass experiment, which is about, you know, is the grass really greener on the other side when you're in a relationship? And you think about, maybe I should just, you know, instead of sticking it out, should I go check out and see what's on the other side of the fence and what happens when I do that? Yeah. So that's kind of what the song is about. So, and you realize that there'll never be another you. There'll never be somebody who's exactly like the person you're with. So sometimes it's best to gut it out.
Yeah. Now, what do you enjoy the most about performing?
I guess the interaction with the crowd when they're digging it, when they're into it, and just sonically. I mean, you know, as a singer, you just love to be able to add your voice to, you know, to the piece, to the instrumentation. I think is fun for me. The actual live is the payoff is immediate. You know, when people are digging the record, you kind of feed off of that.
Yeah. Now, I would be remiss if I did not mention Dreamgirls.
Yeah.
You got an opportunity to do that amazing film. Yeah. Wow. What, 12 years ago now it's been?
Yeah, man. Yeah. 12 years.
Yeah.
That's right.
Will we see you in any more musicals, or will you be doing any Broadway? Because, you know, you mentioned that people are shocked to know that you sing.
They are.
I'm like, when I think of you, that's one of the things I automatically think about.
Thank you, bro.
Is you singing.
Yeah, a lot of people kind of, I don't know. It was kind of shocking to me that people didn't realize that was really me, because I was like, well, if Beyonce is standing beside me and Jennifer Hudson and Jamie Foxx, then I have to be able to sing, right? But like, well, you know. So
and that was you. I mean, I think some people didn't think that was actually you, and it was like, no, that's him. I mean, you know, that's him singing.
I think Broadway for sure. I just actually just left New York a couple months ago, meeting about a Broadway play. So Broadway is definitely on the bucket list. I've entertained it a few times. I just finished a movie movie called Gangland, which is kind of a take on it's like a gangster flick, but it's a musical. Okay. I call it West Side Story meets Menace to Society type thing on Netflix, which is exciting. So I'm down to do musicals. If it makes sense and it's something new and fresh, I definitely want to delve into it. You know, I don't want to put myself in a box. So Broadway and musicals, absolutely. I love them.
Yeah. And who would you like to collaborate with if you could in the future?
Acting-wise?
No, music-wise.
Music-wise, I think my number one choice would probably be Pharrell.
Okay.
Because I think he's just he's got his ear to the streets, and he's got his ear internationally. I think he kind of conforms to what the artist's strengths. He's just a true producer in that right. So I think someone like myself, we could come out with a lot of great music. So Pharrell, if you listen, holler back, man.
Gotta also ask you, because these are so popular now, but biopics, if there was anyone out there whose story that you could...
Donnie Hathaway.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is it, what is it
just... Well, I think him as a singer is probably one of my greatest influences besides Stevie Wonder. I think he was... there's still some mystery to how he deceased. And I think his life, though cut short, was pretty impactful just from a soul perspective, as far as being in that era and being a soul singer and kind of being that voice. And I feel like it would make an amazing biopic. And I think for a lot of soul singers and R&B singers now who get their vibe and sound from him may not even know that they get it from Donny Hathaway. I think it'd be kind of pressing the reset button for them. So anytime I see a biopic, I always want to find out what was their organic and their contribution that sometimes we don't even realize they've made, but it's just there. We don't know how it got there. I think Donny Hathaway is one of those artists that those that know, but there's a lot of people that don't.
Yeah. Now, what keeps you motivated? What do you turn to when, you know, things are just going haywire and you just really need some encouragement?
Well, I pray a lot. You definitely have to in the music business or in the entertainment business, period, it's so up and down. It's easy to start feeding off of the validation or the criticism to kind of dictate where you are in your own life. So I kind of try to find balance in that way. But I think what keeps me motivated is that I feel like I haven't got to, or really haven't gotten to, where I want to be. I feel like there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of songs to sing, a lot of movies to make, a lot of stories to tell, and I have more of a contribution to make. So that's what keeps me motivated. I mean, people look to me, I guess, now as being a veteran, but I still feel that I still have a long way to go, because I feel like people have seen me in bits and pieces, but they haven't seen me in my entirety. So I'm always looking to find that opportunity and that opening to where I can give them as much as I can of me, you know, what my purpose is. So I guess that's what keeps me motivated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Keith Robinson, thank you so much for stopping by the Upfront Studios. We appreciate you.
For sure.
We love the show. Saints and Sinners airs on Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on Bounce TV. Thanks so much.
That's right. Thanks for having me, man.
All right.
Well, that'll do it for today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, Angie Stone, Keith Robinson, and Dr. Iyanla VanZant. I would also like to thank my engineer, Jami Wellman, and you. Please join us next Saturday, May the 12th, for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.